on the trailer of this truck is wheat flour for the starving and besieged people of the Gaza Strip. But this humanitarian aid and thousands more aid shipments are not making it to the Palestinians in Gaza because Israelis have decided to engage in a direct action blockade. For over a week, I embedded myself with Jewish Israeli nationalists who believe it's a worthy cause and even a religious duty to drive hours from the comfort of their illegal settlements in the West Bank and residential neighborhoods in Jerusalem and bring their loved ones to the Kerem Shalom and Nitzana border crossings to block the humanitarian aid trucks from delivering desperately needed food to starving Palestinians. At around 6 in the morning, a bus departs from Jerusalem. It heads south, passing through the West Bank, with stops at a handful of illegal, highly militarized Israeli settlements to pick up dozens of extremist miners and bring them to the borders of Gaza and Egypt. Once the settlers arrive there, they're met by dozens of other Israelis who drove themselves and their families to the border by navigating the backroads of southern Israeli kibbutzim. The border crossings are designated by Israel as closed military zones. Any civilian in the area is supposed to be swiftly removed and arrested. Instead, the military and police are actively supporting and encouraging these illegal humanitarian aid blocks. As soon as the settlers show up at these crossings, the military, meant to secure the area, stands down and guides everyone to the border gates. Then, the Israeli military uses the presence of civilians, which they invited and escorted, to justify the closing of the humanitarian aid crossing gate for hours and sometimes entire days. The trucks are supposed to pass through Israel from Egypt for inspection. Once inspected by the Israeli authorities, they head into Gaza. Officially, the protesters justify the blocking of aid by insisting it's all going to Hamas, a claim repeated by the Israeli government, even as the U.S. State Department stringently rejects it. They share snacks, refreshments, laughs, and party on the edge of an area that UN Secretary General Luis Guterres has described as a graveyard for children. The settlers bring cotton candy mix, machine guns, pastries, their babies, prayer books, and loudspeakers. The military allows them to store their belongings and evade the blistering desert sun inside concrete IDF security bunkers. Even handicapped settlers who can't walk manage to traverse the dirt paths with crutches and wheelchairs, joining the direct action aid blockade with an escort and support from Israeli police.
We give pastries for the people, for the soldiers, for the cops, for everybody. This is what we give to our people. This is real humanitarian, okay? They need to block the aid to Gaza. They need to block the gas to Gaza. Everything to block. And this is what we do every week, two, three, four times a week. What's up?
What is so-called humanitarian aid to Gaza is just a joke. And the police is aware of that. And this is the reason why it is without any violence. They say, you know, off the record, look, we are with you. So the atmosphere is nice, yeah? The people of Gaza, the population, is deeply with the Hamas. There is no difference between the Hamas and the population. The aim is here to bring the population to such a situation that they will just stand against the Hamas and say, stop, we want to eat, we want to get our life back, just release the hostages, enough is enough. At this place in Nitzana, at the boundary with Egypt, nothing, no truck crossed over for the so-called humanitarian aid to Gaza. So we are efficient, and we have to keep doing what we have to do.
So no food, no nothing?
No, they don't deserve it. What I care? Kill them, I don't care.
Do you trust Palestinians?
No. I know all about them. I don't trust them. I want them out of here.
What do you think should happen to Gaza?
I want to be civilized with Jews from Israel, so we can be in peace in there.
This young man was present at every aid blocking action for the last 2 weeks. He was in Gaza for the first 2 months of the military operation.
We've been training for 1 month, and then we got inside Gaza. Yeah, and then we've been there for 2 months. My unit was in charge of explosions. We blew up houses of terrorists, mosque, UN offices. I remember we got into some UN office that was in charge of helping families in Gaza that was affected by the war, and we destroyed it. We've been dealing with the tunnels.
Were you ever in a tunnel?
No, we didn't, but we have the equipment to investigate what's happening there and then to destroy it.
On numerous occasions, blocking humanitarian aid was not enough for the Israelis. They had already successfully blocked the aid for the entire day, and then they began approaching the Egyptian border in order to breach it. Once there, they would attempt to attack and taunt Egyptian truck drivers. Egyptian soldiers watched impassively as the settlers tried to evade the Israeli military and get into Egypt. And even then, the military did not arrest anyone for breaking countless laws and risking a major diplomatic incident. Instead, they ushered the Israeli settlers, who had just attempted to illegally breach the border to attack Egyptians, onto a bus that drove them 300 feet up the street and then dropped them off.
The police man, the head commander, came to us and said, okay, you guys came and blocked. We don't want to fight. And he said to us, I'll just lock the gate. You guys don't need to stand in the sun. We got lollipops. We got watermelon from the police.
The police gave you lollipops
and watermelons. Yeah, watermelons. And was great with them.
They essentially agree with you. They also agree that there should be no aid going.
Well, duh. They also have friends and family which are kidnapped and are murdered and are dying. IDF soldiers, we are the same family. We are the same nation. We have the same goals. The best way is to transfer them to Europe. Europe already accepted, past the 10 years, accepted more than 100 million refugees. I don't think that another 1.5 million refugees would make any difference for the Europeans. And as the Bible says, this place is for us, it's promised for us, so they can starve to death to pay on the things that they've done to us on the 7th of October.
Though the Biden administration has given Israel all the military support it needs and then some to level much of the Gaza Strip, most Israelis seem to believe the Biden administration is holding Israel back from achieving its final solution. They perceive their humanitarian aid blocking strategy as a kind of direct action that will help the Israeli government carry out one of its key objectives, deepening the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza and thereby forcing its population to flee, while giving the government plausible deniability. According to the protesters, the government is in a tough spot with pressure from Washington. They're not asking the government to do anything differently. They argue that they're doing what needs to be done and taking things into their own hands.
I must say that I think our own government is in this specific issue is kind of in a knot, because we're allowed to continue the war only if we let supplies in. I don't even want to, I'm not even pleading to the government. People that are here are not doing that. We're here to stop the supplies. And so there'll be no political issue. We're just here to do what needs to be done. If the government or other people are not doing what they need to do, we'll do it. I have no message to anyone. We're here to do.
Bibi is a puppet of Biden. Because we cleaned all Gaza, except in Rafiah. We know all the live hostages are in Rafiah. Why aren't we going in there? Because Biden asked us not to. That's the only reason. There's no reason not to.
Of course, we have to listen to our sugar daddy. We have to listen, you know, to the biggest superpower in the world, because they're standing on our side, on the democratic Western side. But the Israeli public doesn't want it. And we're here to make sure that until 4 o'clock, 4:30, when they close, make sure no single truck will feed our enemies while they molest, while they rape, and while they kill the hostages they took 4 or 5 months ago. From 2002 until recently, we have been through kind of an intifada, a journey of murder, which they use knives to kill Israelis, they use in many cases guns, they use pistols, they use cocktail molotovs. They kill a lot of Jews, but we have airplanes, you see? We have airplanes. We can erase them 1 second. Once we use what we have, once we know how to use our assets, you know, and not afraid to use what we have, we destroy Gaza. We annihilated a huge part of Gaza. We can do it also, the Palestinian Judea and Samaria and the West Bank. We have weapons, we can use it, we can use it. We need the right circumstances, we need the right leaders. We have goddamn sexy F-16 airplanes to annihilate all our enemies, and then the last of them, we decide to do so. We get over this kind of conception, and kind of a state of mind that we are subjected to the world, the community of the world and the nations of the world, and we are somehow limited, but it's only temporarily. We will unleash our strengths very much soon.
We don't think that the Torah says that we're supposed to feed our enemies when the Torah is supposed to hashmid them. We're supposed to destroy them. Or at least, you know, take back the land that is part of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And I don't think you can find any Jew in Israel that says it's a good idea to give assistance to our enemy when they have, you know, 100-plus chatufim. But we're under a regime, if you will, of the government that orders that. A dictatorship that unfortunately folds to the desires of the West, that being the United States of America.
By 5 in the afternoon, the Israeli truck inspectors go home, whether the humanitarian aid trucks were inspected and sent to Gaza or not. If blocking the aid was successful, which it almost always was, the Israelis celebrate and then go home. Some of the settlers hang back and pitch tents and stay at the crossing overnight to make sure no aid trucks pass early in the morning. Presumably, because of the bad optics, the military often destroys the tents in the morning, while allowing the settlers to illegally remain in the closed military zone in order to continue blocking the humanitarian aid. While in Israel, several settler groups embarked on marches from the southern city of Sderot into northern Gaza. These Israelis see the destruction and depopulation of Gaza as an opportunity to transform it into a beachfront, Jews-only region of Israel.
We love the Gaza Strip. We can't just take a whole strip of land and say Israelis can't live there. That doesn't make sense. This is our sovereign state.
Would you live there?
Of course.
By the beach?
Oh, for sure. Yes, my husband's also talking about building. He has a yeshiva, a Talmudic institute here. So building a branch in Gaza. We have lists already about 500 families that are willing, on the drop of a hat, to just move into, we have north, central, and south Gaza, and people are going to start building towns. We have names of the towns. We have where we're building them. It's already being planned, and we have people signed up. You can't leave it without Jews in the Gaza Strip. It's too big a piece of land. It's too important for us to let it become Hamas town, as we call it, full of terrorists.
צהריים טובים לכולם. הצעדה הזאת שמתקיימת כאן בעיר שדרות באה להגיד דבר אחד, לחזור להתיישב בחבל עזה. שהתושבים יגיעו להתיישב בחבל עזה. אנחנו דורשים, זה שנפלו לנו כל כך הרבה חיילים וכל כך הרבה אזרחים, לא מוכנים לחזור למצב שהיה, וזה מה ששווה, זה הנקמה הכי טובה שיכולה להיות. לחזור לחבל עזה, להתיישב.
These Israelis got into their cars and followed each other to the Erez border crossing, a military entrance to Gaza, about 1 mile west. The army would not allow them to pass certain roadblocks, so they turned off the road and finished the drive by using a maze of dirt roads through the agricultural lands of different kibbutzim. I passed several signs warning drivers that we are now in an Israeli military sniper zone. "Don't worry, they won't shoot near these settlers," my translator reassured me. The Israelis arrived at the crossing and entered Gaza, where they used drills and plywood to construct symbolic wooden outposts before the army removed them for their own safety.